It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 458. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. Send me a friend request on Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. And don't forget the wiki. That's mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all the past shows, the audio, the show notes. Three voicemails for tonight. They're a tremendous response to Kate's rant last week, her voicemail. She wants the toolbars and all the nasty stuff that we as techs and as professionals, we see this on computers. And why are they not being removed from our suite of tools that we use, like Malwarebytes Pro or Super Anti Spyware? Where are the utilities to help us remove all of this? Well, you came through in flying colors, because everybody was recommending almost the same suite of utilities. There's three utilities we're going to talk about. There's an uninstaller we're going to talk about. I have a stack of email follow-ups and questions and some great utilities. To kick things off, I want to talk about a utility. Did you ever run, you're looking at Task Manager and you see the svchost.exe is just running away crazy with your processor, your CPU? Well, really, what is behind that services host file? You know I love tweaking.com's Windows Repair all-in-one utility. Well, that all-in-one repair tool, I go to that all the time after an infection, because you got to repair everything that the infection damaged. Well, on their site, I noticed they have the svchost.exe lookup tool. It is a tool made for fellow techs and their toolboxes and for users who need extra information. If you have ever noticed that the SVC host in your task manager taking up a large amount of memory or high CPU and you wonder what it belongs to, well, this utility will tell you everything about what that host file is really running. So with this tool, you could see all currently running svchost.exe on the system and what service each one belongs to. I downloaded and ran this utility. It is now a portable utility that's on my USB stick for going to help anyone. Great utility that is from tweaking.com, and I highly recommend it. I've already started using it in my diagnostics process when I'm working on systems. So I figured I wanted to share that with everyone. So let's get started with the voicemails. Here's voicemail one.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for the show. It's great. I really enjoyed it. I have two quick questions. The first one was about a wireless repeater. I bought a generic cheap router to use as a repeater, and I ended up having a lot of problems with it. I would set it to repeater mode, and it would work as a wireless bridge, but then it would the wireless would broadcast, but I would turn it on and not get anything from my main router. I wasn't getting any IP address, so I would turn DHCP on, obviously, and then it would work. But it would cut, you know, my network, me off from the main network, you know, all my other computers and stuff. So, you know, it was really weird that I could put it into a wireless bridge, and then plug the Ethernet cable into it, and I would get a DHCP a router assigned from my DHP on my main router, but you know, it wouldn't work wirelessly, would turn on and connect, but I would not get I couldn't ping my gateway or anything. You know, because it just, when I enabled wireless, it wouldn't work. And I was curious if you had any suggestions about that, and I ended up just going with a strictly, you know, a wireless repeater, and you know, and works fine. And my other question was, I'm having a trouble with the client with Google Drive syncing. You know, the files will not sync, and it doesn't really say why. She had filled the drive up, and you know, we bought some more space, but when she tried to sync her files, you know, they would just not upload, and you know, there's no trouble codes or anything like that. It just says unable to sync these files. So her secondary system that she was wanting to sync to, I just uninstalled Google Drive, reinstalled it, and the files just didn't download. No reason. And so I'm looking for a sync utility, you know, maybe even an online backup, cloud backup that will also sync to. Sorry for the long voicemail, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
First, let's take care of your wireless issue. Without knowing all the details, the exact device that you have, I'm going to give you my take on extending your wireless. I don't believe in the bridges and the repeaters. If you want more wireless, if you need wireless access to an area that you currently don't have access, run another Cat5 from your where everything comes in, that initial hub or switch or your main router, and run it to a point where you can install an access point and make it part of your regular network. Now, to do this, if you have a router, and I've said this before, and I've actually had a demonstration about this last month at the Philadelphia Area Computer Society, when you introduce a second router, you need to dummy it down, or you're going to have a second network, or you're going to have conflicts. Now, you can make a router an access point, but you have to go in, give it a static IP address that's not being used on your existing network, and that's on the LAN side. Do not plug into the WAN port, the wide area network port. Leave that unplugged. Extend your network to this device by only plugging it into a LAN port. Now, you need to configure this when it's not on the network. The way to do that is to just take the router, plug it directly to the laptop, and then follow the instructions on going to the default IP address. And this is where you make the change. So you got to program this when it's not connected to your network. Turn off DHCP. Only have one router giving out IP addresses on your network. Unless you have special circumstances where you need multiple networks and there's a specific reason for wanting another router, which your typical home environment, you don't need that. If you're just trying to extend your wireless and you buy a router, dummy it down by giving it a static IP address, turn off DHCP, and do not plug into the WAN port. Now you're ready to have that as an access point. And then program the wireless the way you want to. You know, locking it down, picking WPA2, making an 8-character secured password, and you're ready to roll. That's my take. And I think that's where you had the problem with the device, where you didn't give it an IP address for something on your network. It was actually acting like another router. And that's what was causing you problems. And that's why the one network couldn't talk to your existing network, because they were two separate networks. Now, for your syncing, and I'm not familiar with Google Drive. Does it come with its own syncing utility? So I'm going to need some listener help on this one. I recommend Dropbox. Dropbox is simple. It's great. It's free. You might have better luck with Dropbox. And a utility that I'm going to make sure is in the show notes, and I've often talked about this, it's one of the best backup programs around, and it syncs, and it's in its name, SyncBack. The free version of SyncBack will allow you to sync anything. So you want to sync files in a directory to your Google Drive or your Dropbox or any online service, you could certainly use SyncBack to look at that. If Google Drive is the same as Dropbox, that's what Winston in the chat just mentioned. If you're having trouble with Google Drive, try Dropbox. Look into other networking issues that may be causing the problem for you to be able to sync. And then also, what program are you using to sync? If you're using some third-party program and you're having troubles with that, just take a look at SyncBack and configuring that to sync to the online drive. Message 2.
Hey, this is Clifford with Computer Care over here in Kennewick, Washington. And I was listening to show number 257 with Kate's rant. And you have the add-ins and the toolbars and all that lovely stuff. I've been using IOBit uninstaller on the left-hand side. I think it's the second tab down. There is a option to remove those. And you can also do the batch uninstall, which, I'll tell you what, that comes in very handy with some of these computers with the coupon toolbars and this toolbar and that toolbar. I had a client recently where half of the browser window was toolbars. Unbelievable. So I hope that helps at least calm the nerves. Talk to you later. Enjoy your show.
Thank you. And that is IOBit uninstaller. So I will make sure that's in the show notes. And now we have another uninstaller program to use, and we can remove the toolbars. But we have three utilities that I'm going to talk about, and it begins with this voicemail.
Hi, Mike. This is Corey Davenport, Jervis, New York. Just calling in regards to a question on your last show from Kate. There are various programs to get rid of the toolbars. One's called ADW Cleaner, and the other one is JRT, Junkware Removal Tool. They are both portable apps, and they are on Bleeping Computer. I will send you the relevant links. Hope this helps. Keep up the great show. Bye.
Great recommendation, and I received several emails, and I forwarded a lot of those emails to Kate, and she started using them. I used the utilities, and we're talking about Junkware Removal Tool, Adware Cleaner, and there's a third utility, which is called the Toolbar Cleaner. All of these, when you run them, they take under a half hour, certainly. And you can run them all in addition to Malwarebytes or any of the other malware, anti-malware programs that we use. These programs are great. I use them on, like I said, two of my systems. One of them works and reminds you like CombiFix. It'll generate a report and it'll show you everything that it's recommending being removed. When I went through the removal, there's services that you should probably stop, and also it needs to remove certain things where you got to reboot. I would run it twice, and that's what Kate found. Thanks so much for playing that voicemail about Conduit last week. I made lots of new friends as a result. The best results I had this week removing Conduit stuff were from using a combination of Junkware Removal Tool and ADW Cleaner, and that's the Adware Cleaner. I found that I could run Junkware Removal Tool and get a lot, but not everything. However, the report it produces does identify everything, including what it did not get. I could then run AWD Cleaner and get the rest of it. I didn't stop any services before running JRT. Once it complained about not being able to delete them, I could see all the services and stop them. In fairness to JRT, it might have gotten everything on the second pass if I had tried with the services stopped. Now, I did that, and it did get everything. I am so grateful to you and your listeners who took the time to reply. I have some great new friends and a fresh approach to troubleshooting crapware now. Thank you. Kate, great follow-up. And this is because the voicemail of Corey, the email of Chris, who sent me the three links, and then here's one by This is from Joe in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he sent the links to the junkware removal tool, and from that site, they are very specific that you can get rid of the Ask Toolbar, Babylon, Browser Manager, Claro Search, Conduit, Coupon Printer for Windows. I am so tired of seeing that installed on every system I come across. CrossRider, Face Moods, and Fun Moods, iLivit, Incredibar, My Web Search. Oh, My Web Search. How annoying is that when you see it? SearchQU Web Assistant. When you run Junkware Removal Tool, it will remove all traces of these programs, including their files, registry keys, and folders. This is what we have been looking for, and it seems like several of you have been using these for a while. A little description about Adware Cleaner. This is from Kevin, who sent this in. It's a program that searches for and deletes adware, toolbars, potentially unwanted programs, and browser hijackers from your computer. By using Adware Cleaner, you can easily remove many of these types of programs for a better user experience on your computer and while browsing the web. I concur with that. When I was done running these utilities, my Firefox has never run faster. And I thought I had a pretty clean system. I mean, I have Malwarebytes Pro running. I have Woot. I use Microsoft Security Essentials. And my system seemed pretty good. But when I ran these utilities and I seen stuff that was like dormant in there, locked into the browser that I didn't even realize, once I removed them, my system started performing better. My browser is performing better and it's faster. These are great utilities that you should add to your USB repair stick or whatever you have for your toolbox. This was from Julian, and he mentions the same toolbar removers. Brandon, I want to thank you. And this is all because of Kate's voicemail. Here you go. I was only able to test it on Windows XP SP3 virtual system. It removed the Ask and Conduit toolbar successfully, but there were still entries in add remove programs. These were removed when I tried to uninstall the toolbars. Hope this helps. So this was toolbars not found by scanners. Brandon, thank you. And there were more. I want to thank everybody that responded and your recommendations. It's what this show, as I continuously say to everybody, this is what this is about. I'm a conduit for all of you where we have a problem, someone has a rant or a complaint about something, and then you respond and I share it and we help each other. That's what this is. That's what the Mike Tech Show family, what this is all about, and helping us do battle with these infections and make our computers more usable and the experience better. And to make us more productive, which is what the core of this show is about. And that demonstrated that this week. So thank you, everybody who participated in that. I really appreciate it. I know Kate is definitely thankful. Let's move to other topics. And this is from Chris. Hi, Mike. Second email is about the question about what to do about the pornography. This was in response to a listener who wrote in who... A mom was mad because he transferred everything from her son's computer to the new computer, and including all the porn. And there was certainly a dilemma. And if you didn't hear last week's show and my take on that, please listen to it and you'll get my opinion on all this. Well, he uses FABS Auto Backup for Tech, and I go through the computer and I select any other folders that I know are not Windows folders and not program files. If the customer asks why the stuff got moved, I inform them that I use an automated tool that moves all documents, pictures, and videos, and that I do not go through and inspect all the files. And he's absolutely correct. The only time I would ever bring something up is if it's very noticeable and I see it And if that person happens to be a minor, sure, I am going to mention it to their parents. If it's an adult and there's nothing illegal on it, I just move everything, just like Chris just said. That's a great way of handling that. And by the way, Fab's Auto Backup for Tech is a lifesaver if you're transferring and moving your profile and your settings and your data from one computer to another or one operating system to another. And I am an affiliate for that program, and the link is in the always in the show notes every week. I make sure that that link's in there, and that's Fab's Auto Backup for Tech. That is a tremendous program, and they just released a new version last week. So remember, when you buy that, you have lifetime upgrades. This email is from Mike, and it's about the Windows 8 toolbar tip that Carrie sent me. And he says, "Hi, Mike, longtime listener from Canada. Love the show. Tried the tip from show 457 about the start menu toolbar, adding it to Windows 8. It does work, but it will add a start menu toolbar with double chevron to the taskbar down by the clock. When you click the chevrons, it goes to the program list as per the link in Windows 7 or XP. It does not add a start button down to where it is in XP or 7. When you reboot, it stays in place, but still boots to the Metro interface. Regards." And this is Mike P. from London, Ontario, Canada. Mike, thanks for checking that out. If you really want to get back to the classic menu or the start menu, there's really only two recommendations. You have the classic start, and that's available at 9/8. And then you also have Start 8 by Stardocs. That's $4.99. And it is well, well worth it. This next email is from Kevin. "Update tip on how to find out if a site is legit. Greetings, Mr. Smith." It's Kevin again. "Remember I asked what to do when Web of Trust doesn't have any information on a site? Well, www.alexa.com is a site that gives you a brief analysis of a website that's in question. It gives you the site's traffic stats, its rankings in categories, etc., country, etc., its audience, reviews, related links, time on site, everything you need. After reading the analysis, it helps a lot when making the decision whether you want to trust the site or not. As a PC technician, it helps me. I hope it will help you and other Mike Tech Show disciples." Thank you very much for that. I really appreciate it, and I'll have that link in the show notes. This next email is from Jim. "Mike, I just saw a podcast site that included a link in the show notes to the iTunes comments section to help listeners easily find a place to rate the show, in case that's of use with each of your podcasts. I'm surprised I haven't seen that used before. Yes, I should use that. And I will figure out how to do that, which I'll embed a link to the iTunes comment section, because the more positive comments, the higher the show will be ranked. As you notice, I do a very poor job of marketing the show. I mean, I use Twitter and I use Facebook, but that's just to say, hey, I'm online or the new show's posted. I am a very, very bad marketing person when it comes time to promoting the show and getting the word out there for the Mike Tech Show. I rely a lot on my listeners to spread the word and let it grow. And I need to become more programmatic to put things in there and take advantage of things like this. So, Jim, thank you for that info. This is from Paul. "Question about server configuration and Shadow Protect software. Mike, I am in the process of pricing out a new server and network for a client, and I wanted to include a license for Shadow Protect in the quote. However, I am not sure of what licenses I will need for the configuration I go with. I am quoting them a new Dell T420 server with Windows 2008 R2. It will need to run the OS with Active Directory enabled, and then a virtual machine of an old 2003 web application server that will be converted to a VHD during the migration. The way I see it, I can either run the host OS right on top of the hardware, then virtualize the web server within the host OS, or I can install both instances of them on top of the 2008 hypervisor so they are both running as VMs. I don't recommend that. I know Winston's going to disagree with me. Now, I know there are pluses and minuses of either configuration, and I am curious as to which one you would go with. Also, weighing into the decision is the Shadow Protect licensing. If I went with the host VM option, when I need to buy two different licenses for the two different types of installs, if I went with the two VMs, would that give me an advantage? No, I don't believe it would. You're going to need the Shadow Protect server license for the host operating system, the Windows 2008 R2. Have your virtual machine on top of it. Shadow Protect will grab that, I believe, and you won't have to do anything else. So it will grab everything. You don't need to run Shadow Protect within the virtual machine because the host will grab that and everything running on the system. Now, Winston says VM license is much cheaper. Well, maybe that's something to consider. A VM license is like $350, and I know the server license is like $900. Right off the bat, I would feel more comfortable with running the full server, single server version of that you put on the host. And then anything you run virtually on it, it's going to grab it. Build that into your quote because that's the worst case scenario because that's the highest price. Then if you decide to run virtual machines and it's going to be cheaper and go with the two VMs and the license will be cheaper, at least you quote it the highest version, the highest number for the license. So I hope that makes sense. And I always try to do that when I'm quoting something and there's a choice between two prices and they're kind of close, I'll go the higher road, quote the higher, because then if I'll end up at least not undercutting myself by not quoting it high enough if I decide to make that change. Another thing that's got to come in, how comfortable are you with the virtual machines? I'm probably less comfortable running two VMs. Now you got three that you got. Now you got three operating systems you got to manage. Why not just have your host be the main system, your main operating system for your main server, and then just one VM? Now it's just two machines to watch that you have to worry about. That's the way I look at it. Let me know what you decide and how you made out with the project. If you purchase anything from Amazon, make sure you use my link. Share it with anyone who you know that's making purchases from Amazon. My link is amazon.micnation.net. When you go to that website, your price is the same, but a contribution comes back to the Mike Tech Show. A little percentage comes back and it helps support the show. I want to thank everybody, A, for your incredible month last month, and B, we got off to a great start this month. Continuing to use my link, I really appreciate it. And also, all my affiliate links, the Tech Builder website, Tech Builder 2 that Steve Cherubino has, continue to use my link in the show notes. And also, if you're buying Malwarebytes Pro. So these are all the products that I use, that we talk about, that we recommend, that I love using. I have my clients using them. Great products. And I want to thank you for your continued support. I have two songs I'm going to play from the Rascals. They were just touring recently in Philadelphia, a little reunion. And, man, I can't believe they've been around for a long, long time. But these are my two favorite songs. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
One, two, three. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck. What I had.
That, of course, is the Rascals. And I'm going to have a link to their greatest hits from Amazon where you can buy the CD for just $4.99 and you can have all their greatest hits. That's an incredible price. Great songs. And, of course, Good Lovin' and How Can I Be Sure? They're two of my favorite songs from the Rascals. I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed to the podcast. I appreciate your support. I appreciate your feedback, your questions, everything. Thank you so much. And I will be back with you next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.